Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. With me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Blessed in Jesus, brother.
Amen, amen. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm praising the Lord.
Well, praise God. If you guys have been with us for the last couple weeks, if you're a new subscriber, praise God, we welcome you. But we know we have a lot of lifelong in terms of the podcast show, a lot of our listeners are... You know, they've been around a little bit, and they've been around for a little while with us, and we've been really blessed by them. And actually, we actually received an email this week after we covered the subject of secret society. So before we get into what we want to talk about today in terms of subject matter, I wanted to read this to Joe, because this was an email we got from Ohio, from a brother in Christ there, after we did our episode on secret societies last week. So this is what he said. He said, quote, "I was so happy to hear today's show about secret societies. I almost joined the Freemasons in November out of ignorance. I started talking with a new guy at work, and soon he told me to be a Mason, or that he was a Mason. He talked of brotherhood, betterment, and Bible study. It did not sound so bad to me. I even called my local Masonic lodge here in Ohio. A man talked to me for almost an hour in a complete sales pitch. He said we could meet on Thursdays at 5, the same exact day and time as my weekly Bible study. It's like I was asked to choose between good and evil. I studied up on Freemasonry that night. The next morning, I went into work to talk to the Mason. I had one major question, and I asked him, 'Do you guys worship Satan?' His response was, 'Who said that Satan was bad? Nowhere does it say he was bad.' I couldn't believe what he was saying to me. Moments later, he asked me if I was afraid of voodoo. He said when he was being initiated, a man he didn't know was making him move his fingers involuntarily. He said there was more to know, and that the Masons had books from the Bible that not everyone else got to see. Thankfully, God showed me the way. I went to my Bible study. I was then shortly after asked to be a part of our new growing young team at church. Praise the Lord for laying out to me the right way. The Masons are demonic. I cannot wait to hear the rest of this podcast. Thank you. Sincerely, your brother Chris in Ohio." Praise God for you, Chris. That's pretty
Amen.
Awesome.
Well, praise God. God kept you from that group.
Yeah. And I thought that'd be really good, because we're going to be talking about a group that was founded by a Mason today. But nonetheless, guys, we want to talk about secret societies, and today specifically, Mormonism. You know, and we were talking last week a lot about the dark occultic, you know, kind of edifice of a lot of these occultic secret society groups. And then there's some that dress up really nice and do their hair properly and make sure they're nice and clean and shaven, and they have a little elder tag, and they don't even know what they're a part of. And so we're going to really dig deep, because a lot of times this is the facade. This is the surface material that you will see. This is the whitewashed tombs of secret societal, disgusting, absolute debauchery. So we want to get into that. And, you know, without further ado, Joe, let's get into it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because last time when we started to have our, you know, first message on secret societies, we looked at, we covered a lot of ground pretty quick, but we did look at the occult foundation of a lot of the most influential leaders in secret societies. Masonry is huge. Masons have had a lot of influence. Just pull out your dollar bill and you'll see the eye in the pyramid there. A lot of the construction of Washington, D.C., a lot of the influence on many of the presidents were Masons. I mean, on and on and on. But it gets a lot deeper. And what we showed, I thought, was very important. And one thing we're doing in this video, with the video, be really powerful, hate between the eyes, because you'll see the imagery that is involved in many of these cults and how similar they are to one another. But we were able to show where Albert Pike and Manly P. Hall, two leaders among the Masons, one being the philosophical leader, one being one of the greatest leaders in the United States of America over Scottish Rite Freemasonry, And we showed where these two men both talked about Lucifer in a positive light. They both talked about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and Satan's bequeathing of gnosis or knowledge through that apparatus or through that means to Adam and Eve being a good thing. We also showed where Blavatsky also connected to Masonry and her, you know, successors as well. Also, Blavatsky talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil being a good thing and Satan really being the good guy and Yahweh, the, you know, the God of the Bible, the creator, he's really an evil entity and so forth. And we tried this all together where it, you know, becomes undeniable that they're teaching a lot of the same things. And by the way, keep in mind, it's not like someone's going to become a Mason. They're going to learn, you know, in the first so many degrees or in any degree necessarily who Satan is. It's when they get turned on to Masonic authors, Masonic philosophers, certain people in Masonry. And Masons, when they hit the 32nd degree, they're encouraged to go and seek other esoteric knowledge and they end up in other societies built by other Masons. And it's just interesting that when you look at Masonry, even if you look at Mormonism, Joseph Smith had been heavily, the founder of Mormonism, had been heavily influenced by Masonry, and the secret ceremonies that go on in Mormon temples have been influenced by Masonry as well. In fact, there's something incredibly insidious that takes place in the Mormon temple where the power of Lucifer through a certain symbol is given to each member of Mormonism through the temple endowment. And we'll be talking about that in the next week or two because we'll be talking a little bit about it today as far as the philosophy and how it's similar. Mormonism has its roots in not only Joseph Smith's false teachings, but Masonry and ancient Gnosticism. Gnosticism, which was the greatest opponent to the early church in the second and third century, the G that's used, and you see in Masonry everywhere, the big G hanging up, they say early on it means, oh, it stands for geometry or stands for God. Then you find out later, even in their encyclopedias, not just through different degrees of Masonry, you can look at Mackey's encyclopedia, other authorities in Masonry, they say it really stands for Gnosticism, okay? The Gnostics were the opponents of the one true God and who believed the serpent or Sophia through the serpent, many of them taught, set Adam and Eve free from Yahweh, the creator. Incidentally, Aleister Crowley, who claimed to be like an 87th degree or so Mason, Aleister Crowley, who was a most highly regarded Satanist of the last century, in the Book of the Law, which every other book, he believes it was channeled by Satan, an entity called Iwas, who he identified as the Baphomet, identified as Satan, identified as Horus. He talked in that book, you have this entity speaking through him about building this Superman race under the coming Antichrist, the coming beast. Crowley hoped he'd be that beast. And that entity speaks through him, channels through him and says, I'm the snake that gives delight. The snake, back to Eden, to worship me, take strange drugs and get drunk and all these other things, you know. So basically he's harking back to Genesis. In fact, Crowley said that Satan was not the enemy of mankind, but he's the one that bid us to become gods. And that, you know, basically he comes against Yahweh who forbade us to become gods. Same thing with Crowley. Well, guess what? Before Crowley, before Pike, before Blavatsky, before Manly P. Hall, before all these other occult authorities that influenced whether it's the OTO with Crowley, Masonry with Pike and Manly P. Hall, the Theosophical Society with Blavatsky, you have Eliphaz Levi earlier in the 19th century, before these guys, and a contemporaneous with, say, Pike and so forth, but earlier than pretty much all these guys. Eliphaz Levi, if you've seen the Baphomet, and if you've got a computer near you, you can type in Google image, the Baphomet. That's that androgynous-looking creature that's supposed to, you know, has a phallus, but also has breasts, and it's got the head of a goat, and, you know, the devil head with the horns and everything, and it's sitting on like a throne and so forth. That was drawn by Eliphaz Levi, who was a satanic occult sorcerer, a ceremonial magician. And that was his amalgamation of what he believed was good and evil and the God that he believed in and so forth. In fact, he actually called it the devil, which is interesting. And it found its way on certain sets of tarot cards. It's been used in the occult by the Church of Satan and others as an emblem or a picture of the devil for centuries now. Eliphaz Levi, by the way, was a Freemason as well. It's quite interesting. In fact, a site I was at recently, at the Grand Lodge of British Columbia website for, you know, Masonry there, calls Levi, quote, a prolific writer on magical Freemasonry. So understand that a lot of Masons get influenced by a lot of these guys to this day. Now, it's interesting because the Baphomet was allegedly worshipped by the Knights Templar. And the Knights Templar were a group of crusaders who had become more secretive in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church. And they're heavily persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church because they were believed to have been a secret society. And the Knights Templar had a heavy influence, according to Masons, according to the Rosicrucians, according to Crowley, with regard to the OTO. Many of these guys say, hey, we've been influenced and, you know, we're a succession of or influenced to one degree or another by the Knights Templar. Now, the Knights Templar made confessions. Now, many say, well, they made these confessions under severe duress and they were being tortured. And they made confessions that they worshiped the Baphomet. Well, Eliphaz Levi is when he drew this depiction of Satan. He called it the Baphomet. And they talked about how they were made to spit on the cross in the Knights Templar. And some of their confessions, they spit on the cross. One 21-year-old said, I spit on the cross with my mouth, but I didn't mean it in my heart, in one of the confessions that came forth. Now, later, many of them had recanted and said that they were forced to make up these confessions. However, in their confessions, they signed their confessions saying that there was no torture involved. We weren't there. We don't know exactly what had happened and what exactly took place, but we do know this. Whatever exactly was going on with the Knights Templar, it's hard to know for sure. We do know what's going on with the writings of Blavatsky, with Crowley, with Pike, with Manly P. Hall, with Eliphaz Levi, and later on with L. Ron Hubbard, and with Joseph Smith, also, by the way, in the 1800s. It's interesting how much wickedness came out of the 1800s. So it's interesting because I was looking at Levi, and I was looking at his writings. And I thought, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if Eliphaz Levi also talks about the serpent being the true benefactor and the savior of humanity. He was called the savior of the human race and the redeemer by Blavatsky, right? Well, he was an ardent socialist, Levi. It's interesting where we're going now today in America. And he promoted the idea that government by the people was wrong because people were too dumb to rule themselves. So they needed a spiritual authority over them, an occult hierarchy of occult priests, occult initiates, as he called them, who he called men gods, which is interesting because you have the same kind of thinking happening under Hitler and the Thule Society, which is an occult society that helped bring Hitler to power and the Nazis to power. And that you need that this coming new world order, this new social order demanded that men gods step up, the magi who would rule them. And he was trying to bring forth this construct. Well, he influenced a lot of the secret societies who believe the same thing. Now, it's interesting. I found by reading some of his book, it's crazy, called The Great Secret. Well, guess what? We've been exposing the great secret of secret societies over and over again. And it is what young people, kids learn at Sunday school, in their Sunday school classes, but they learn it's evil, is that Satan sought to deceive the first humans to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he was successful with the lie that they wouldn't die, and by casting doubt on God's word, as God said, and by teaching them that they would become gods. Well, that secret, it's not really a secret. We already know what Satan's up to, but it's a secret to those in secret societies. They think it's this great truth, though, and that's the lie right there. So I was looking at his book called The Great Secret, and it's there that Levi reveals, basically, he's a Gnostic, guys. He does the same thing with the tree of knowledge of good and evil that all these other occult leaders have done, which I've quoted already. So I think it's unique or somewhat unique about our presentation on secret societies. We're tying all this together with the secret gnosis in the very beginning with documented quotes. So in his book, The Great Secret, he basically says on the last words, in a standalone sentence by itself on the last page of the book, The Great Secret, he tells us what it is. You will be as gods, knowing good and evil. There it is again. That's the great secret. And it's interesting because in his book, as you go through it, he talks a lot about God. Oh, he must be a Christian. He believes in God. But for him, God is Satan. And for him, Satan is God. Okay, and the God of the Bible is the devil, the evil one, the creator. But Satan is the real God. And Levi calls Satan God and God Satan in this book. In fact, it's interesting. Listen to what he writes. And this is near the end of his book. He says, the tree of knowledge is not the tree of death, except for Satan and his apostles. What's he saying there? Now, we know the tree of knowledge, they eat. God says they die. But he says the tree of knowledge isn't the tree of death, except for Satan and his apostles. In other words, the God who said, don't eat or you'll die. And those who follow that God are Satan and his apostles. Did you catch that, guys? And he goes on to say, to the superstitious, it is the Manichaean tree. That's a poisonous tree. But to us, it is the tree of life. You see the Gnostic conversion with Eliphaz Levi there, guys? You see, the tree of knowledge is really the tree of life. That's in the same book where he talks about the great secret. And this should, brothers and sisters, you need to be aware that just as Nazism was fueled by the Thule Society and occultists who helped bring Hitler to power, who almost ruled the world by people that are demon-possessed that were involved in secret societies, there are all kinds of secret societies right now influencing world politics. You have the same demonic forces at work. And Mormonism's one of these big secret societies. A lot of people think, well, Mormonism's not a secret society, Joe. What are you talking about? They're pretty open with what they believe. Yeah, there's always an outer shell to the public and that they teach the lower rung initiates. But guess what? When you get your temple recommend, you get what you have to pay for to get into the temple, and you have to go to the temple faithfully. You have to keep tithing. You have to keep your dues up and make your payments so you can go to the celestial kingdom in heaven. Otherwise, you can't get to the highest kingdom. So you basically, it's a works-based deal for salvation as well, which is what Masonry is and Rosicrucianism is and OTO and all these other things. But anyway, we'll get into it more and more as we go. When you get to the end of his book, though, you learn this secret. And listen to what he says. I mentioned already that quote, but I kept out a few words that go right before it. Listen to the last words of the last page before he says this. He writes, and thus will be realized the promise of the symbolic serpent. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. So that's the very end of The Great Secret, his book. And he's the guy who drew the Baphomet, the picture of Satan. And that's used in the occult today, referenced by Pike and Crowley and others. In fact, we have this incredible quote from Levi. He states, quote, of Satan, it is that angel who is proud enough to believe himself God, brave enough to buy his independence at the price of eternal suffering and torture, beautiful enough to have adored himself in full divine light, strong enough to reign in darkness amidst agony, and to have built himself a throne on his inextinguishable pyre. That's Eliphaz Levi, The History of Magic, page 138. Now, it's interesting because, again, he's influenced all the aforementioned occultists that I've talked about for the most part earlier. Now, what does all this have to do with it? I mean, how does this tie in with, for instance, Mormonism? Well, we've been talking over and over again about the greatest enemy of the early church was Gnosticism. And Gnostics taught that Satan was really bringing us light so we could escape from Yahweh. But it really wasn't Satan. It was Sophia or another angel or another, you know, or Eve, or just, you know, turning us onto the light, because Yahweh created us as physical beings. But these physical bodies are really a matrix. They're really prisons. And matter is physical. Physical life, the physical world is evil because it was created by Yahweh. But Satan wanted to set us free and tap into our divinity within so we can do what we wilt by breaking the laws of Yahweh. Do what thou wilt. Don't follow the creator. Follow you know, this lying spirit. Well, the scriptures warn that, now this is very interesting, that Satan would come as an angel of light. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And that as a serpent deceived Eve, Paul said he was concerned, as a serpent deceived Eve, so our minds will be corrupted from our simple devotion to Christ, that we'd believe in a different Jesus, that we'd receive a different spirit, that we'd believe a different gospel. And guess what? Mormonism ties into a lot of these lies we've just been talking about. And they claim an angel. Joseph Smith claimed an angel came to him named Moroni. And that Moroni gave him, you know, knowledge that nobody else had from the golden plates. And he found out that we don't really die. You either go to the celestial, or you can go to the celestial kingdom if you pay your tithes and you go through the temple recommend and so forth. And guess what? There's no death, and we will be as gods. It's what Mormonism teaches, that we become gods. Same lies from Eden again. But what's crazy is, think about this. Mormon leaders over and over again speak of partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil as really being a good thing, just like the Gnostics, just like the occultists, Crowley, Blavatsky, Pike, Hall, Levi, that I've mentioned in the last few episodes when we've dealt with secret societies. Listen to this. This is from Joseph Smith, who, was the founder of the prophet of Mormonism, he declared, God himself is a man like unto one of yourselves. God himself, the father of us all, dwelt on earth, on an earth. Now you have got to learn how to be God yourselves. Okay? That's Times and Seasons, Volume 5, Mormon Production. Other Mormon leaders like Brigham Young, who was the most popular and famous succeeder of Joseph Smith, the Mormon prophet, when they exceeded Joseph Smith, writes this, when our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives. He is our father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. That's in Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, pages 50 and 51. Brothers and sisters, I have 25, 26 volume set of Journal of Discourses at my house. I bought it at the Deseret X bookstore. I'm a 56-year-old man now. I bought it, I think, when I was like 18 years old. And I was studying Mormonism. And I underlined that thing very heavily. And the first, when I pull out volume one of the, when I'm witnessing to Mormons, I pull out volume one of Journal of Discourses, it automatically opens to that page because I have that heavily underscored. And on the other page, that's on page 50, I believe, 51, you have Brigham Young saying, don't let any of you say that Jesus was begotten by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says, Matthew 3. Because if you do say that, you'll prove your damnation. So he's using this bullish mentality to warn them that if you believe the Bible and not Mormonism, you'll prove your damnation. You need to go with this idea that Adam is God, which, by the way, most Mormons don't believe now.
He's a racist, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have Journal of Discourses as well. I put it on my iPad a long time ago. And in Volume 10, Brigham Young also says, if a person of the chosen race, it's, of course, white person to him, sleeps with a person of the unchosen race, they shall be put to death, and it shall be a statue for all generations.
Yes, for all generations. But yeah. Then the... 60s came, and you know all of a sudden blacks got more and more freedom, integration took place, and so forth. And then the Mormon Church got a new revelation. Guess what? Blacks are now allowed in the priesthood. God told us. Yeah. Shows you're dealing with the cult.
And they had to admit, you know? Just last year, the year before, they had to admit that Brigham Young was in fact a racist. Their prophet was a racist.
Yeah, that's interesting. They did come out with that recently. Now it's interesting as well. Listen to what these guys teach regarding what happened in Eden, at the Tree of Knowledge now. Because remember, they're touting that we become gods. So you have Brigham Young, the most revered prophet of Mormonism after Joseph Smith, echoing Satan's lie in Eden when he declares, Brigham Young that is, most popular Mormon university is BYU Brigham Young University. He states, quote, the devil told Eve the truth, talking about godhood. I do not blame Mother Eve. I would not have missed her eating the forbidden fruit for anything in the world. Deseret News, June 18th, 1873, from the pulpit of the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City on June 8th, 1873. In fact, it's interesting, we have Gospel Principles, page 31, a Mormon publication, talking about Adam's sin was a great blessing to all mankind. Mormon Apostle, and they have 12 apostles at a time, and then when one dies, they fill the void. John A. Widstow said this, in Joseph Smith's philosophy, their act was to be acclaimed, talking about Adam and Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit. They, he says, were the greatest figures of the ages. The so-called fall became a necessary, honorable act in carrying out the plan of the Almighty. Former former LDS president Joseph Fielding Smith, okay, he was the leader of the church for a while, said, quote, the fall of man came as a blessing in disguise. I never speak of the part of Eve that she took part in the fall as a sin. Never call it, he says, I never talk about it as a sin, nor do I accuse Adam of a sin. It is not always a sin to transgress a law. We can hardly look upon anything resulting in such benefits as a sin. What's the benefits? It's part of what needed to take place so we could realize our divinity. Sterling Sill, he was the assistant to the Council of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He said this, this old sectarian doctrine built around the idea of man's natural depravity and weakness inherited from Adam is at the root of innumerable problems among us. Adam was one of the greatest men who ever lived upon the earth. Adam fell, but he fell in the right direction. He fell toward the goal. Adam fell, but he fell upward. Jesus says to us, come up higher. I mean, this is just like demonic, and it shows you, because part of Satan's scheme, I mean, the very lies, half God said, meaning, don't trust what God said fully. And that's what Mormonism does. Follow the Book of Mormon, follow Mormonism. The Bible's cool, but you know, only as it's translated and it agrees with Mormonism. So then they look at the Bible as a book that they only interpret through Mormonism, just like Islam does, and they trash it. And then he says, you won't die, that's what they teach. You'll become God, that's what they teach. There's a secret gnosis, that's what they teach. They have secret temple recommend, temple endowments and so forth, secret handshakes. They have secret underwear, that undergarments that they wear under their clothes that has different occult, Masonic type occult, you know, designs in them that Mormons wear and so forth. If they want to get into the celestial kingdom, they can realize their divinity.
Yeah, I remember talking with Mormons, and all they did was switch the wordage. You know, when you say, well, what's up all this secret stuff? They would say, it's not secret. It's sacred, Joe. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
It's sacred.
Yeah, well, Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Moses, 5, 10, 11. Isn't it interesting? All these, the Masons, Blavatsky, Crowley even, you know, Eliphaz, Levi, they always use scripture. They always twist it. Because Satan knows the truth, that the truth carries weight. So they twist it to make it into a lie.
That's what the Gnostics did.
That's right. It states, and in that day, Adam blessed God, saying, for because of my transgression, my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy. That's from a Mormon so-called holy book. Okay, we also read in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 2, verses 23 through 25, Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. Interesting. This is neo-Gnosticism. The Bible, however, teaches that Adam's sin caused spiritual and physical death. And physical death, certainly, spiritual death for Adam and Eve, when children are born and they are alive to God at first. Paul says in Romans 7, when they reach the age of accountability, Paul said, I was alive at one point, but then when he became conscious of sin and transgressed against God's law, he said he died. That's when we need to be born again. So the scriptures teach that what Adam did was not a fall upward, but was a fall downward. You know, so we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Verse 15, Romans 5:15, for if by transgression of the one man, that's Adam, that many died, he says. Well, 5:16, for on the one hand, Adam, it says, judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation, brothers and sisters. 5:17, for if by the transgression of one, that's Adam, death reigned through one, Adam. 5:18, so then as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. 5:19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. That's not good, folks. We became enemies of God through Adam. And the whole idea about becoming gods, Ezekiel 28:2. Yet you are a man, not God, although you make your heart like the heart of God. Goes on to say a little bit after that, because you have made your heart like that of the heart of God, I will bring strangers upon you. They will bring you down to the pit. Verse 9 of chapter 28. Will you say, I am God, though you are a man and not God? The Bible says in Jeremiah 10, all the gods who have not made the heavens and the earth, they shall perish from under the earth. The Bible says that sin is not from God, and let no one say when he is tempted, I be tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God hates sin. Sin is not what is blesses our lives. Is Jesus. Sin brought a curse upon us. Read Genesis chapter 3.
Look at
3,
babies with cancer, you know? And then talk about joy when you think of sin.
Absolutely, Chad. Amen. Sick. Look to Jesus and look to him, because true life comes from him. The tree of life was a tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree of death. Stick with Jesus and you'll be fine. Look forward to the next episode, because we're going to go into the Mormon temple and look at the secret ceremonies, and you're going to see that Satan confers a secret apron upon them, which is a symbol of his satanic priesthood until the day they die.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.